Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
Praise the Lord. Man, is anybody thankful that God is good? Come on, no, don't sit down, stand back up, don't stand. Simon didn't say sit down yet. Man, I'm grateful that we get to get into the Word today. Is anybody thankful that when we study the Word studies us? And the Word of God is alive and active, and it challenges, it changes who we are. And we're going to get into the Word today. And today's going to be a little different. The Lord changed my sermon yesterday. I'm glad He did it yesterday and not this morning. But we're going to do a little bit of review and celebrate what God is doing. And then I honestly believe the Lord told me that God's going to set some people free today in this house in Jesus' name. I want to take a minute, though, before I can. Can I be a person and a husband for a minute? Man, I want to take a minute and honor my wife. I love my wife. This coming Tuesday, we celebrate 14 years of marriage. And we are super excited. And babe, I just want to let you know in front of our church family how much I love and honor you. You have been my A1 since day one. Come on now. As Apostle Rayleigh, my spiritual father, you've been the cheese in my macaroni. So I love you. I'm so honored that I get to do life. The Lord let me be married to you and serve you and lead and have babies and all those wonderful things. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. I love you and I cherish you. And I'm looking forward to the next 75 in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you. I love you. Hey, I'm just going to let you in on a secret. Marriage is a gift from God. Always take time and celebrate and cherish what God gives to us. But I want us to take a minute and ask the Lord now to prepare our hearts to receive the Word. And not, remember, not just to receive, but to respond. To receive and to respond what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because I believe He has something for each of us today before we go in Jesus' name. Can we pray together? Father, we love You. Lord, I do. I thank You so much, God, for my helpmate, God, and Melissa. God, she's such a gift, Lord, not just to me, but to so many. And God, I thank You that I can celebrate, God, a covenant, Lord, that You allowed us to make with You and one another, God, almost 14 years ago. But Lord, I pray, Lord, in this moment, God, as I'm here with my amazing church family, God, whether they're in person or online, God, I bless them today. God, I pray that You would continue to bless their marriages and their families. God, You would continue to let Your face shine upon them in every way. And Lord, as we get into the Word, God, this morning, God, I pray that You give us ears to hear and a heart to understand. God, because You are truly, God, just awakening Your people to say yes to the greater that You have for us. So Lord, I pray that as we're challenged today, we're also changed. As we receive, may we also respond and leave equipped to continue to be the people of God in the earth that bring honor and glory to Your name. God, we pray these things today, and it's in Jesus' name. If you're ready, somebody say amen. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. Be seated. So church, we've been in this series, Just Like Jesus. Somebody say, Just Like Jesus. We've been in this series now for several weeks, and we started way back, maybe 8 weeks ago, and it's kind of morphed as we're talking about this initiative that we have just launched here at Makers for the second half of this year entitled Greater Than 20. But I wanna just do a quick review before I get into the Word the Lord gave me today, just reminding us what we get to say yes to together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Here's what the Word of God says. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Let me read it one more time. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. What does that mean? That means that we should live just like Jesus. That we should live just like Jesus. And so we see that we've understood that the command from God's word, not for some of us, but for all of us, for each of us and all of us, the command is we must live on the earth just like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our example. Come on. Not only is He our example, He's really the example. And not only is He our example, how many of you guys know Jesus is our standard? He is our standard of how we live. Jesus is the standard for the church. So we, the church, the ecclesia, the bride of Christ, we are supposed to be His reflection and representation in the earth. If you believe that, say amen. That's our beautiful, beautiful opportunity to be the representation and reflection of Jesus in the earth. But the last several weeks, we've gone a little further. We've been talking about what God desires for us to do as a church family, as a family and an army in this season, in the second half of this year. And it's this movement called the Greater Than 20 movement. Somebody shout Greater Than 20. Greater than 20. And it's all about us understanding that our church is not called or designed to be the statistic. We're called to be the standard. We're called to be the standard. How many of you guys know a church should not be a statistic? The church should be the standard of God in the earth. And this whole movement, one of the things that's based off of is this thing called the 80-20 principle we've talked about. And this principle is very simply what you see there. The premise is a minority, usually 20%, is typically creating a majority. So what does that mean? In business terms, that means that that 20% of your salespeople are the one making 80% of the sales. It's this 80-20 principle that's been around for over 100 years. And what's interesting as we looked at this throughout the last several weeks is that principle is not just present in the world. That principle has become true of the church. That principle has become true in the church. In so many ways, the church at large. What do you mean? That means that 20% of the people do 80% of the serving. 20% of the church family bring 80% of the resources that are able to help us do what we do every year. 20% of all the initiatives and the outreach that we do, 80% of that's done by 20% of the people. And you say, Pastor, is that really true of Makers? It's not. Those exact numbers are not true of Makers, but it's closer than it should be. Come on, somebody. Say, why is it closer than it should be? Because the Pareto principle, the 80-20 principle, is not a kingdom principle. So if it's not a kingdom principle, we should not look like the 80-20 principle. We should look like the kingdom. So what we find ourselves in saying is this, is we are not here to be another statistic in the earth. God has put us here to be the representation of Jesus. So that means we're supposed to be the standard. Why? Because Jesus is the standard. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So listen, that means every organization, every business, they can utilize that principle and they can use it because there's some good that you can find from it. But the truth is this, is the kingdom of God is not an organization, an institution. The kingdom of God, we are a family and we are an army. And in every good family and in every good army, every single person is not a consumer, they're a contributor. Every member of the family, every soldier in the army, they all have a vital part to play. Each of us and all of us, when we come together, that is when we are stronger. That is when we represent the name of Jesus correctly. If you believe it, say amen. And so we can see, you go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read about the body of Christ. It says, just like the human body has many parts but is one body, so should be the body of Christ. There are many parts, but there is one body. And each of us have a vital part to play. Look to your neighbor and say, I need you. Come on, tell them, I need you. I need you. And so we've been looking at this initiative, this movement from heaven that we believe God has called us to together. And I want us to remember as we get into this today, you say, well, Pastor, is it that big of a deal? Yeah, because Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 43, he said, you're supposed to lead by a different model. He said, you're not supposed to look, even though I've sent you into the world, you're not supposed to look like the world. And so we must be committed to saying, Lord, do not ever let us be a statistic and associated with the systems of the world. God, let us be the standard of the kingdom in the earth in every part of who we are. And so we've been looking at this greater than 20 movement, and it's been so fun. How many of you guys have learned some stuff already through this greater than 20? It's been really cool teaching it. I've enjoyed it. But there's four components of this movement that we've looked at. Well, three so far. We've looked at the four components: sharing, serving, shining, and sowing. We've looked at all three of those. We looked at sharing and serving and shining. I was gonna talk about sowing today, but that's where the Lord kind of changed everything. So you guys will have to come back very soon to hear about that one. But I'm grateful for what God is doing, because how many of you guys know in the kingdom we all should be sharers? We should be people that share our faith. We should be people that share Jesus. We should be people that share with others about the incredible church that God lets us be a part of in Jesus' name. And before you accuse me of anything, I have said this. This is not about our church getting bigger. This is about our church getting stronger. It's about our church getting stronger. And so we should be sharers. We should also be people that serve. How many of you guys know Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve? So if Jesus said that, what does that mean? That means we need to put on our towel just like Jesus, and we need to be serving, especially those in the household of faith. But then last week we talked about shining. How many of you guys know that Jesus said we're the light of the world? We should be in the world shining with every good deed that we do. Why? Because the Bible says when people see your good deeds, they glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we should be shining, and listen, not just shining through outreach and missions, although those are important and we love those things. Those are a part of the heartbeat of Makers Church. Local outreach in our city and international missions around the world. Those are the part of the heartbeat of our house. But also shining in the places God has sent you. Because I told you guys last week, we might all have different occupations, but we have the same vocation. Because the vocation for each of us, the true calling, is to advance the kingdom of God. And so whether you do it in your business, whether you do it in entertainment, whether you do it through media, whether you do it through government or education, no matter what it is, God says our vocation is the same, to make the name of Jesus known and advance the kingdom of God. And so we talked about that last week, and it was powerful hearing about those things. And the Lord even showed up last week, a prophetic word was released over the house about how God is sending us right now in Jesus' name. And so today, I want to tell you before I get into the rest of the meat of my word today, we're going to let you practice. How many of you guys know for things to actually make progress, you got to practice? Come on now. You got to practice. You got to practice if you want to see things progress. We're going to have some ways that you can engage in sharing and shining as you leave. See, today as you leave, everybody's going to get some fresh Makers apparel. It says Makers on the front, and on the back it says Jesus is the standard. It's a great way for you to just be a sharer. Say, pastors, why is your gray? Because they don't make giant sizes in black. That's why. And I appreciate you not making fun of me, but loving me, because I can't help the Lord made me this big. But here we go. Everybody's going to get a free t-shirt, including your kids. We've got kid sizes. So make sure you grab a shirt today before you leave. Also, we're doing something fun. How many of you guys know it's a holiday weekend? So we're doing something really cool. We took s'mores and sparklers. Come on, somebody. We put them together. Now, these are just little goodie bags for you to take one and for you to take at least one or more and give them to neighbors in your neighborhood. Give them to people that are close to you, because here's what the bag says. Bag says, we hope that this gift bag sparks a sweet 4th of July for you and your family. But listen, you say, pastor, why is this a good thing? Because this costs you nothing and you get to share the love of Christ. And you get to share. They're going to say, who's Makers Church? Let me hop on Google, my friend, and let's find out who Makers Church is. It's so easy. All you have to do is say, hey, happy 4th of July. That's it. Take these bags. If you want to take 40 of them, take 40 of them. I don't care. Just make sure we practice what we say we're a part of. Why? Because we're greater than 20 in Jesus' name. And so I want you to see those things, take advantage of it. And as you're getting these things as you leave today, we talked about serving. We've got a big old serving wall out there that has cards just like these. They're all the places that you can serve right here as Makers Church. Take a minute. All of them have descriptions. You can scan the QR code that talks about the Dream Team. Find out ways you can be involved. How many of you guys know we are better when we do life together? And I'll keep telling you this as it pertains to serving. Why would we let the family suffer when we could strengthen the family through serving? Let's serve and let's strengthen what God is doing in every generation in Jesus' name. Amen? So those things are coming right after service. So if you leave early, we're going to lock your car. You can't get in until you get this stuff, okay? I'm just kidding. But listen, we talked about greater than 20. We'll talk about sowing. And man, I really got a good sermon for sowing. I had props. I was ready. And yesterday while I was praying, the Lord started to speak to me. See, this week at our summer camp, I was the speaker to all of our young people, which, by the way, we have some of the best young people on the planet. I love you guys. You guys, come on, let our young people know how much you love them. I was the speaker to our Makers youth. And one of the things the Lord told me is that we specifically had to talk about freedom. And you should have seen the Lord sweep in and set free our young people in a myriad of areas. But I heard the Lord tell me yesterday, Derek, that word's not just for them, it's for the whole body. So I got to talk today about freedom. Somebody say freedom. Now, you know, this is a weekend where we are celebrating men and women who have sacrificed their lives so we can have the freedom that we enjoy together. But how many of you guys know there was also someone else who was fully man and fully God that gave his life so we could have spiritual freedom? a man that we can celebrate today named Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Anybody else love Jesus? Man, if you just missed your chance to say amen, that was the best one you're going to get all day. But I want us to talk specifically with the rest of our time today. And if you saw those communion cups at your seat, we're going to take communion at the end today because of what God told me we're going to do. But I want us to see something today, church, as we understand that there is this man and who was fully God named Jesus. Listen, he gave his life that we might experience the life-changing, revelational gift of freedom. Did you know freedom is a gift? He died to let us be free. Listen, I mean freedom on every level, body, soul, and spirit. I'm talking about freedom from physical pain, freedom from emotional pain, freedom from psychological and mental pain, freedom from disease, freedom from depression, freedom from addiction, freedom from church hurt. Come on, somebody. Freedom from unforgiveness and bitterness or bondage, freedom from criticalness and cynicism, freedom from anger or lust or greed or pride or jealousy. How about freedom from that spirit of comparison that tries to dominate in our world? Freedom from your past, freedom from insecurity. Any freedom or any freedom from anything the enemy tries to entrap us in, and freedom to live the life that God has designed for us. How many of you guys know we were all made to live in complete freedom? Listen, we got to see this. You were not created for captivity in any level. You were not created for captivity. In fact, your best life is not bound but free. Your best life, look to your neighbor and say, your best life is free. Come on, tell them, your best life is free. Now let's go deeper just for a minute, because we've been talking about this 80-20 principle with the greater than 20 movement, but it seems that this 80-20 principle has somehow found its way into the lives of believers as it pertains to freedom. This 80-20 principle has somehow found its way into the life of believers as it pertains to freedom. Because see, it seems that a majority know about freedom, but only a minority truly experience it. A majority knows about freedom, but only a minority really experience it. And from my vantage point, because I spend time with a lot of people in so many ways, it seems that the word and concept of freedom has become more relative than it is real. It seems that the word freedom is nothing more now than a relative concept rather than being a reality for us. But I need you to hear me on this holiday weekend. Before you go and have a great time with your family, please listen to the man of God today. Freedom is a real life-changing gift from God that is not for a minority. It's not even for a majority. Freedom is for each of us and all of us. Freedom is for each of us and all of us. And not because I say so, but because God's word says so. Why? Matthew 24:35, Jesus said, he said, everything else will pass away before my word does. And God's word declares, which we'll see in a minute, that we can be truly free. Somebody say truly free. Each of us and all of us. See, this is what the Holy Spirit told me yesterday as I was praying, and he began to shift what I wanted to say. He said, it's time that freedom be prevalent in the church again. It's time for freedom to be prevalent in the church again. It's time that freedom be the standard in the church again and not just a statistic that represents the minority. It's time for freedom. Somebody say freedom. Come on, get with me for a minute. It's time for us, just like Jesus is the standard of salvation, church, he is also the standard for freedom. And I'm gonna go ahead and tell you this because it's the truth. I'm done having to watch bound believers and detained disciples. I'm ready to see freed sons and daughters walk in the fullness of the power of God in every part of their life so they can go and make disciples and make a difference and shine bright for the kingdom of God in the earth. But the only way that happens is if we truly live in the freedom that God has given each of us. Look to your neighbor and say, let's get free. Come on, let's get free. See, as we get into this today, why this is important, here's real truth. You'll never be able to be the standard in sharing and serving and shining and sowing if you're not free. You'll struggle with all of those things for your entire life on the earth until you get free in Jesus. You'll never be able to be the standard. Why? Because if Jesus is the standard, was Jesus bound or was Jesus free? Jesus was free. So if you want to be just like Jesus, being bound is not an option. If you want to be just like Jesus, being held captive or oppressed by anything is not living just like Jesus. That means that you're not living the life that Jesus died to give you. And so I want us to talk about freedom today because I believe that God set this moment up even before you were born to set you free today in Jesus' name. Can we get into the word? Everybody with me? Here we go. I got 3 points about freedom. 3 points about freedom as we understand that we want to be just like Jesus and live in complete freedom. Let's go to Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. This is where Jesus, he stood up and he declared this in the temple. So beautiful what he declared. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." I love this text for a couple reasons. One of those is, how many of you guys know we walk in that same anointing as the sons and daughters of God? Can I challenge you? You need to declare that over yourself every day before you leave your house. Because listen, the same anointing that rested on Jesus rests on us. Why? Because you know who was the CEO of Jesus' ministry? It was the Holy Spirit. And guess who the Holy Spirit lives in now? He lives in us. So we can declare that and see those things happen in Jesus' name. But I want you to see what Jesus declared. Jesus, I love this text because of the things that he said, that he has been anointed, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and set free those who are oppressed. But see in that text, what are the themes that Jesus is declaring? He's talking about liberty and freedom. He's talking about liberty and freedom. Set the captive free. Set the oppressed free. Free those who are brokenhearted through healing. And so what we have to see is we have to understand today that humanity, none of us were called to slavery. We were all called to sonship. We were all called to sonship. Jesus came to set us completely and truly free. So the first thing I want us to see this morning is this, is freedom is real. Everybody say freedom is real. Freedom is real. Freedom is not a concept. It's not relative. Freedom in every area of your life. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, no more brokenness, no more baggage. Jesus said it then and Jesus is saying it now. I've come to set you free. He said, I've come to set you free. So listen to this. The first thing we have to see today, freedom is not just a fun buzzword that we get to use because it's appealing and enticing. Freedom is not relative. It is literally real. Freedom for us is real. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Jesus would never declare anything that he could not demonstrate. If you go to John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, you see he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. Notice Jesus said, he didn't say some people, he said anybody. I'm gonna let you in on something. If you're living the abundant life in Jesus, that's the free life in Jesus. Abundant life is not a locked up life, it's a loose life. Come on, somebody. It's a loose life in Jesus. And so Jesus comes and he declares these things and he's letting people know that they no longer have to be bound, but they can be free. Because what I find today is it seems that there are a lot of people that have taken the bait of Satan and convinced themselves that what Jesus offers is not true freedom. That what Jesus offers is not freedom. Listen, Jesus did not die and get back up for you to be temporarily free, but truly free. Didn't mean that your freedom had to come in cycles where for a cycle and a season, you did good, but then you slip back into those things and you find yourself in bondage again. Jesus did not come for you to have temporary freedom. He came to set you completely and truly free from the inside out. If you believe that, somebody say amen. That's what Jesus did. And that's what still Jesus offers. You say, Pastor, how do you know? John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, who's the Son? Easiest question I'll ask all day. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, that word indeed is important because it literally allows for us to see that freedom is being emphasized. Why is it being emphasized? Because Jesus wanted us to know it's not for some people, it's for all people. It's for us if we will choose the gift of freedom in every part of our lives. Freedom is real. Do you remember, what did Jesus say when he was on the cross before he died? Did he say, to be continued? Did he say, it's almost done? He said, it is finished. What does that mean? That means anything the enemy would try to bring into your life, any captivity, any oppression, any bondage, he said, I've got all power, I've got all authority, it all has to bow to me. He said, it is finished. So that means that those things are finished and you are free in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give the Lord praise if you believe that. Hallelujah. Come on, even on a holiday weekend, man, we love Jesus in here. So number one, freedom is real. Number two, freedom is a gift. Everybody say freedom is a gift. Anybody like receiving gifts? I do. You're getting one today, a free t-shirt. Come on, somebody. Freedom is a gift. Freedom is a gift. And it's not just for certain people, but it's for everybody. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom. How many of you guys know God's a good father? He's a good father. Listen, he is a good father. I'm trying to teach my children right now that God's a good father. I'm trying to help them understand that God doesn't have daddy's imperfections, but he's perfect in all of his ways. How many of you guys know that God's just not present? God's perfect. But God's a good father, and a good dad loves to give gifts to his kids. The Bible even says that. He said good dads give gifts to their kids. But he says, how much more will your heavenly father want to give good gifts to you? One of those amazing gifts is freedom. Now see the text. He said, you have been called to freedom, called to liberty. All right? I want you to notice this. That means before you even chose freedom, he already called you to it. Isn't that amazing? Does that not show how much God loves us? That before we even chose freedom, he said, I've already called you to it. And so we can see that freedom is a gift, and freedom is a gift for all of us. And listen, I told the young people this, hopefully you guys remember because it was only like 2 days ago, but you've probably been sleeping, so let me remind you. Freedom is not just for when you turn 35. Freedom is right now. Freedom doesn't have to be found when you become mature. No, oh, freedom is so good that when you almost fall off the steps, the Lord protects you. Listen, in 6 years, I have never done that. Shout out to the Holy Spirit and my Jays for keeping me safe. Amen. All right. Freedom is a gift. Look to your neighbor and say it's a gift. What do you do with gifts? Do you earn gifts? Do you buy gifts? You receive them. You receive gifts. But so we see God was calling us to freedom. See, here's what's beautiful. Just like God is a good dad, God is also a great deliverer. Do you know what it means to be delivered? It means to be set free or rescued. How many of you guys know that we need to be set free and rescued? And sometimes we don't have to be rescued from Satan. Sometimes God has to rescue us from ourselves. I don't have time to go there today, but that's the truth. See, we find two things that God delivers. Jesus said he likes to bring liberty to those who are oppressed and those who are held captive. Did you guys know those are two different things? Oppression and captivity are two different things. Let me teach you just for a minute about the differences between oppression and captivity. And while I'm finding that, I want to tell you this about God. God is the ultimate deliverer. And let me tell you why he's the ultimate deliverer. God is the ultimate deliverer because anytime God delivers you out of something, it is because he is delivering you what's into best. Anytime God delivers you out of something, he delivers you into something. And he doesn't deliver you into better, he delivers you into best. Because that's how good and powerful God is. But as it pertains to oppression, here's what oppression means. Oppression means to be taken advantage of, to be treated in a harsh, cruel way, living in a state of bondage under control or rule. So I'm gonna hurt somebody's theology today probably, but that's okay because you can take it up with the Lord. And if you have any questions, you can send it to Cameron@makerschurch.com. Our student pastor will be glad to dialogue about with you this week. Did you know you can be a believer and still be oppressed? See, salvation's just the beginning, okay? And so you are saved, but there are things in your life that can still be oppressing you from the enemy. Things that are kind of overshadowing and over, and just they're oppressing you. So let's talk about it for a minute. If oppression means living in a state of bondage, under control or rule, being taken advantage of, how about some people, even though you love Jesus, you're still oppressed by the labels that people have put on you throughout your life? Come on, that's real. Sometimes we can be oppressed, listen, by the actions done against us that maybe you couldn't stop or control. Maybe somebody did something to you physically or emotionally when you were a child and you couldn't stop it, and you still live under that oppression. Those things are real, church. How do you guys know that the enemy is stronger than us when we're by ourselves? It's only until we get Jesus that we're stronger than him. And so there are things in our lives that can oppress us, maybe oppressed by fear or grief. You can't move on, you can't get past it, you can't get over it. Sometimes oppression is real. How about being oppressed by guilt or shame? You're oppressed by the decisions that you made and the consequences that came from those decisions, and you feel guilt or shame based on those things, and those things just oppress you on a consistent basis. You don't have joy, you don't have peace. Why? It's not because God doesn't want you to have them, but you're being oppressed. You're being oppressed by those things, but that's just oppression. Sometimes we can find ourselves in captivity. What does it mean to be captive? Someone taken prisoner, someone caged, confined, locked up to sin, to addiction. How many of you guys know sometimes we can be captive to fear? We can be captive to unforgiveness. Listen, I'll go into that one just for a minute. This whole thing about I don't go to church because the church hurt me, the church did not hurt you. The enemy operated through someone and he hurt you. The church did not hurt you. But sometimes we can find ourselves being held captive to unforgiveness or bitterness. Sometimes we can find ourselves being held captive to things like that in our heart or our lives. We can be held captive to insecurity or comparison or compromise. Sometimes we struggle and we're held captive by habitual sin, like addiction, alcohol abuse, substance abuse. Sometimes those things are real. There are people that love Jesus, but they still struggle with those things. Can we be real for a minute? Or are you guys perfect? You're real, thank God. Listen, sometimes you can be held captive to greed or pride, or you're captive to covetousness. Or maybe you're captive to different things. Listen, I think this is true of some people. Sometimes we can be held captive by a critical spirit. Can I go here for a minute? How many of you guys know that God gave us critical minds and not critical spirits? Oh, let me step in for this one just for a second. Listen to me. God does not give a spirit of criticalness. God gave us critical minds to find solutions, but critical spirits cause problems. So be careful that if you find yourself being critical of everything and everybody all the time, because I'm gonna tell you, God did not give you a critical spirit. That comes from the enemy. And I'm gonna tell you this about whether it's captivity or whether it's oppression. Listen to me. Listen, this is so important. If God didn't give it, we should not want it in our lives. And none of those things I just mentioned, addiction to nicotine or pornography or anything that could hold us captive or be oppressed, God does not give any of those things because those are not good gifts. Those are the gifts that destroy lives and destroy families. Come on, somebody. Those are the gifts that will impede the progress that God wants you to make in your relationship with Jesus. So if God did not give them, we should not want them in our lives. If you believe it, somebody say amen. But the reality is this, is that freedom is a gift, freedom is real, freedom is offered to us. And here's the big one. Number three, freedom is a choice. How many of you guys know that we weren't born winners or losers, but we were all born choosers? We were all born choosers. Freedom is a choice that you make to be freed by Jesus. See, God never calls us to anything just because. When God calls us to freedom, it's because we were made to live free in Him. And so I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit put me on assignment on a holiday weekend today to tell you, if you've been walking through oppression, if you've been dealing with captivity, you don't know why you can't get past something. It's because you need to choose freedom. You need to choose freedom in Jesus. And let me be real with you for a minute. Because a lot of times people see me now, but they don't know me back then. Anybody else got a story like that? Like, I'm from Rock Hill, South Carolina. You don't know me. We're different down there. But I grew up as a teenager, and bro, I was captive to lust, big time. And here's the thing. I was a pastor's son. I was supposed to be good, do all these things. But I was struggling with an addiction, and I was struggling with lust. And guess what happened? I was captive to lust, but I was being oppressed by guilt and shame because nobody knew. Nobody knew because I felt like I couldn't tell anybody because I'd be letting people down. Because there was this false sense of expectation that I had to be perfect and good because of who my family was and the things that I was. And I was a nice kid. Listen, there's some really great people that love Jesus, but you're struggling. That was my story. I was a captive to lust, and I was oppressed by guilt and shame. But can I tell you, I encountered Jesus. And you know what He did? He brought complete freedom in every part of my life. Come on, give the Lord praise. Listen, that's not just my story. That's some of your stories. But guess what happened? I got older. And you know what happened? I started being held captive to a spirit of comparison. Uh-oh. I struggled with comparing myself with other people. I struggled with insecurity because I was like, I don't know if I'm really good enough when God said you're good enough the whole time. Anybody else ever struggle with comparison? Listen, sometimes I want to take social media and just set it on fire. If you're online today watching via social media, we're so glad that you're here. There is some good. But what's happened is that spirit of comparison has doubled down in our sons and daughters. That spirit of comparison and insecurity. So here I am, I'm in my 20s. And I'm just, I have such a blessed life. I'm even in starting into ministry, and I'm comparing my ministry to other people's. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not from God. Why would God tell you to compare yourself with a co-laborer? Why would He do that? He doesn't do that. That's the enemy. And so you know what had to happen again? God had to deliver me all over again. And I'm going to tell you something. Freedom is a choice. And listen, it is not just a one-time choice. It's a daily choice. Because I hate to break it to you, but because here's the thing. We know something. Satan will never win, but he also will never stop. Okay? And so understand something. That means that Satan is always lurking around, him and his stupid minions. They're always lurking around seeing, hey, you want to hop back in this captivity? You want to hop back in this bondage? We know how that works. And listen, we understand if God has set us free, we should never go back to what God has set us free from. But that's why freedom is a daily choice. Freedom is a choice that we make. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because I am tired of seeing good people who love Jesus not experience the true freedom that Jesus died to give you. I want to see you live in that freedom because I'm going to tell you, in complete and total freedom in Christ, all you have is joy. Now, hang on now. Don't mean life's always easy or life's always fair. Because the Bible says in John 16, Jesus said, He said, there's going to be tribulation in this world. But does not mean that you're not free just because you feel the fire every now and then. But freedom is a choice. And I believe it's a choice that God wants all of His kids to not just choose once, but choose consistently. You say, well, Pastor, how do I stay in freedom? Everybody stand with me. Come on, we're going close. It's 12:07. I need a few more minutes, and if you get hungry, you can eat your s'mores in the car. Deal? I always know when it's time to close because my wife just hops on the keys just like that. You got my back, girl. I love you. How can I stay walking in freedom? Well, we're going to pray for everybody for freedom here in a minute. But I'm going to give you some great advice. And guess what? It's not my advice. It's God's advice. You know what it is? Stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to the shepherd. Put up Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. What a great psalm. Here it is. You ready? The Lord is my who? Listen, does he say he's everyone but yours or yours too? He's our shepherd. I shall not want. Keep going. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, I just want you to stop for a minute. Understand, if God's really in charge, there are times that he will make you lie down in green pastures. And because he is good and because he knows better than you, if God ever makes you do anything, don't fight it. Just trust him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Look what he says. He said, you even prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow. See, can I tell you something about God? God's so good that he's in front and he's got your back at the same time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My heart is to stop seeing a minority of God's people be free, but see each of us and all of us free in Jesus' name. Listen, I don't want freedom for us to just be a statistic. I want freedom to be the standard in which we live our lives, that we truly walk in freedom.